We're recording. We're back. For us here now is Parsha Kedoshim. The real Parsha, obviously, is Emor this week. So this is for you talking about last week's Parsha. We're not going to coordinate again until end of Bamidbar. So imagine okay. It was last week.
So wait, tell me again, this Parsha is what? Are we off?
Yeah, Chutzla Aretz is Kedoshim. Eretz Yisrael is Emor. Because Shabbos was Yisro Chag. So in the U.S., it was last day Pesach.
Oh, right. Jack,
so we were in Israel, heard Achrei. I was in Israel, heard Achrei Mot. Then I came back to the U.S. and heard Achrei Mot again.
Oh, so what are we reading? What are we reading?
You are reading Emor.
And what is this Sheyor on?
This is Kedoshim.
Okay.
This is a Kedoshim. Right, so, this is still for, okay. We're in Chutzlaret. I'm in Chutzlaret. Yeah. This is last week for you.
Right.
Okay, this will be familiar because you know everything already. You heard this already.
No, this will be next week. Kedoshim
was last week.
Right, okay.
So this is based on Sharon Rimon, who is the editor of Tanakh.com. He teaches at the Gush, and it's talking about Orla. Because last week's Parsha, Parsha Kedoshim contains the mitzvah of Orla and Netzer Ravai. Okay, you can't eat the fruit of the first three years. Your pasuk is verse one. V'chitavol aretz, when you come to land, v'tatem kol et machal, and plant any fruit tree, any food bearing tree. V'araltem orla to epirio, and you will make its fruit orla, literally uncircumcised. We'll look at what that means. Shoshanim yelachem arelim, you considered arel for 3 years. Lo yechel, don't eat it. V'vashanim you to eat. And on the fourth Yekul Peryo, all of its fruit has to be Kodesh Yilim Lashem, holy food for praising God. And luck is you can eat it, but you have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there, like Maaser Sheni. Or you basically redeem it for money, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and use the money Yerushalayim to buy $10 smoothies in the old city, which is what we did.
What do people do today? What do people do today?
Same thing with Maaser Sheni. You pose it in on some, you redeem it for some small amount on a coin, or you have a coin right there that says, you know, all this fruit is being redeemed for this coin. The money is set aside.
And what do you do with it? You give it to tzedakah?
I think at this point, it's just set aside and you leave it and you wait until you have a duty. So I don't know whether you can use it to buy food in Yerushalayim. It may be the case you could actually do that.
You mean you put it aside, and when you go to Yerushalayim, you use it to buy food.
Right, yeah. To buy food.
Oh.
That's the halacha. Now, what happens nowadays, usually, it's just set aside and just sits, right? You have a coin sitting somewhere in your drawer for your pigeon.
It's only that fourth that. Year. We have a lemon tree, and we didn't know how old it was, and our landlord wasn't sure how old it was, so she had to go back to the gardener and her father, and they had records about when it was planted.
That's relevant.
And I think this is the fourth year, actually.
Okay.
So what are we going to do?
Ask your halakhic authority. Okay, yeah. Yes, Israel. Right. The question whether it applies to all trees or just the vines and grapes. But the idea is that, yes, fourth year, it is kadosh. Not that you don't give it to the kohen, but you have to treat it with kedusha, go to Yerushalayim, eat it in Yerushalayim, and praise God, thank God for having got begin all this fruit. It's the kodesh hilulim l'Hashem. It's holy for praising God. On the fifth year, you can eat all this fruit freely, and it will increase its fruit for you. You'll have lots of fruit from there. And I am the Lord your God. Keep this. Okay. And this idea that we take some of our produce and we dedicate it to Hashem, as a way of showing, acknowledging Hashem is the one who provides for us. Thank you, Hashem. That's common in the Torah. But this is different. Okay, because it's not the first fruits that are kosher to Hashem. It's the fourth year, right? And the idea of why the fourth year is odd, right? Why skip those 3 years? And compared to everything else, compared to where there's another mitzvah that applies, ki tavol art. When you come to land, you have fruit, what do? You bring bikurim of the first fruits, right? The first has some meaning. This is bikurim. Ki tavol art, same expression, ki tavol art, ki tavol art. When you come to land, Hashem Hashem, kevel kachan ten lachan akalah, that God gives you an inheritance, v'yushtav yishav tavai, you settle it, v'kachtami, v'yishit kol pri dama, and all the fruit of the produce of the ground. You take the first fruits, some part of the each crop, from whatever God gives you, you put a basket, you bring it to Yerushalayim, offer it to the Kohen there. So why four? Why skip 3 years and come on the fourth year? And the Ramban gives a practical reason. Plus, trees don't give a lot of fruit for the first couple of years. There just isn't anything to offer. This is Ramban, source three. The reason for this mitzvah, the kavedat Hashem, to honor Hashem, may reshit kol tzuvotenu. We honor God with the first of our crops. So this netar avai, the produce of the fourth year, is the reshit, is the first year. Right? Mitzvotenu priya etz from all the fruit of the trees, which was a kerem and fruit of the vine as well. Both grape vines are considered trees, halachically. Lo nochal mehem ad shenavi kol pri shana achat. We don't eat until we bring the produce of 1 year. We're going to bring to Yerushalayim. We're going to praise God with it. And the for the first 3 years, for most trees, it's just not worth bringing that fruit to on Hashem. The fishem move up because they just don't produce a whole lot of fruit when you plant from seed. It takes a while for the tree to come in. And the fruit's not very good. It tastes good. It smells very good. The toast shows shutting in those first 3 years. Rubunla, you see a pair of claw, and most trees don't bring in for it, don't have any fruit at all. I shouldn't really eat until that fourth year.
Is this true?
It's true that it's a couple years. Whether it's generally three or how long before you get any fruit out of a tree. Think of it, ever plant a tree? First year, even if you get it as a seed, normally you get seed here.
Danny, I need to quick take a call. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to pause this.
Yes.
Resume recording. Okay. So, get a 1-year-old tree, it's just a little tiny sapling, and you plant it, and it takes 2-3 years before it has anything at all. Mm-hmm. Most trees take 5 years to get that. For grapevines, I don't know how long it takes to get anything out of it. So the first couple of years, you're not getting anything out of it. So the Rabban says, as a practical reason, you're not going to get anything. So we're going to make a general rule, wait 3 years. The fourth year is going to be the first decent year. And that sounds about right. Right. Ruban lo yuti peru klal achna ruvi eaten most trees are, you're not going to get anything at all until the fourth year. It's not like plants you plant every year. Therefore, we're going to make a rule. We're going to wait for all of them. Lo nitzal mehem achna ruvi netash nato, and we're not going to eat any of it until we bring the netah which is planted kol periyor rishon nato. The first good year. That's the netar avai, the fourth year, the first good year. So that's our equivalent of bikurim. It's the reshit, the beginning. Kodesh to Hashem, we'll bring this, we declare holy, bring it to Hashem, v'sham yachluhu, and we'll eat it there in Hamakom Yishevchar, in Yerushalayim, v'yalu Hashem, Hashem, we'll praise God, we'll all be there in Yerushalayim, eating together. A mitzvah zot domel, a mitzvah bikurim. So this basically is very parallel to bikurim.
Sense.
The Emma had devoured, this is the truth of the matter. That's why we have to wait. Okay? So Netravai is the first crop, effectively. So some of the fruit, if you do have fruit that grows during those first 3 years, what do you do with it? The answer is the Torah says it has to be Aral Tem et Orlo, which means you will make it Aral, uncircumcised, literally. In the sense of being sealed up. covered with a membrane. It may look like fruit. It looks like fruit on there. Hashem says, still sealed up, it's still in the bun. That's where Ramban continues. That's what the word arelim means. Araltem or alo perio. The Targum on that is the atemtem itumto. You will seal it up. Yeah, atum vinistar melanopo. Consider it sealed and hidden. Don't have, get any pleasure from it. That's from Rashi. Bisap Pirish, Ramban says that's the right way to look at it. Araltem means to be covered, to be sealed up. In Cain, because similarly, we have the same expression in lots of places. That we talked about an era lev, being a sealed heart. In Yechezkel sense, I don't feel anything. Or Yirmiyahu said, it talks about areila oznam, their ears are sealed. Chayi segura batuma, ena kol nechnaspo, they can't hear. Similarly, Moshe declares himself aral svatayim. I have sealed lips, I can't talk, I'm listening, segur svatayim. That's what Arel means here. Yisir katuv atimut the tree. The idea of being sealed up comes with it. The expression of that is used with the fruit. Habavatov shloshanim with these in the 3 years. La suro bahana'a. Can't get any benefit from them at all. Lo yamar kein b'shar yisir hana'a. And that expression is unique here. Consider Arel. And you can't get benefit from it. Because the blossoming, development of the fruit is called the pticha, the opening. It is the opposite.
May I suggest that the word bi'a here is a little bit of a pun? No.
Where are you? What is?
Never mind.
Which word? No, I like puns. Wait, which word?
Well, it's not a pun. It's a hidden bi'ata pri, like bi'az. Intercourse, right?
Okay.
Thanks. And the arel and pticha. There's something going on here.
Okay. We're pushing her.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Okay.
I don't know. Arel here is, it's not all really right. Working okay. So much as just membrane, covering.
Okay.
Like, just the idea that blossoming is pticha. Right, of course, Shirashim, Pitachas Mada, the blossoms have opened. Tach Amar, Shoshanim Yelachem Arelim, for 3 years you should make them Arel. Ki Ilo Perot Nisugurim Beilano, Lo Tiperach Lo Pitchus Abadar. That you need, even if you see it looks like an apple on the tree, you want to consider it as though it's still in the bud.
What is Smadar?
It's not. A Smadar means a blossom.
Oh, it's a name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so I just wonder if that expression. Atapri, it's a little odd, but okay. Okay. So what do you do with it? What do you do with it?
You have to destroy. You get no hana from. You have to destroy any food you from those 3 years.
I don't like that.
I'm sorry. Leave it out. Leave it out for the wild animals. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You cannot get hana.
Okay.
You cannot. You are not allowed to get hana from it. It is. Like after the Ara, for Chametz Pesach, whatever you normally do with that.
Is that the same
the
rule
from
Kurim also? You have Isur Bahana'a?
Yeah, so what do you do with Bikurim nowadays? I don't know the answer, because Bikurim was what we're supposed to ideally be given to the Kohen.
Right.
So this is not Bikurim, right. This is before the fourth year. This is the first 3 years where you have to consider it not to exist. Fourth
right.
year. You get to your shalim for 3 years, there's no fruit. The question is why? Why do you have to consider it arel? Right? If you have fruit, why not just, fine. So it came, the crop came early, bring that to your shalim. We'll celebrate, we'll serve Hashem, we'll celebrate with Hashem in those first 3 years. Right? Why those 3 years? It looks like Davida is joining us. Davida!
Hi!
And Liora would like to say hi. And Davida is muted. Oh, Davida.
Hey, sorry, it's Grandma. Hi, Liora.
Here, we're going to stop sharing for a moment here so everyone can see Liora's non-hair.
It's not hair.
But somebody else's
wow,
hair.
Beautiful. It looks like your hair, though. It's your color.
It's my color?
I think so. It looks like your hair. It looks like you just, got a blowout or something.
Yeah, so
We're going to resume recording and we're going to share again.
There's a Air Force flyover right near us for Yom tomorrow. Oh. Yom Ha'atzmaut. Do you have that?
Oh, okay.
Levita?
Yeah, I heard about something that they do. Yeah, like it's in the morning, maybe? 11?
I don't know what time it is. Maybe. Anyway, tomorrow. We have time to figure it out. Okay. So why? You came at just a good time. Why Orla?
Yeah. We're talking, right. So we're talking about Netzaravai and Orla, that you have to wait 3 years before you bring, and then bring the fruit. And that Ramban says parallel to Bikurim, that the fourth year is the first decent crop. You wait, you know, because you plant a tree, you plant a seed, you're not going to get anything the first year, you're not going to get anything the second year, not getting much the third year. By the fourth year, you can get some fruit, you bring that to Yerushalayim, like Masa Sheni, eating Yerushalayim. But the first 3 years are Orla. I mean, even if it brings fruit, yet you can't use them at all. The Ramban looks at the context. You look at the rest of the paragraph about where it talks about Netzaravai, the rest of it is all about magic and superstitious practices. It says, you know, it continues. This was started out with Pesach part, you know, Sukim Chaf Gimel Chaf Dal Chaf Hei. Chaf Bav is Lo Tochu Adam. Don't eat literally over the blood. There's some kind of magic ritual. Lo Tinachashu. Don't do Sutsing. Lo Tel Nenu. Don't try to foretell things. Al Tifnu El Havot El Dunim. Don't try necromancy. Al Tivakshu Lo Tam Abaham. Don't contaminate yourself by looking at, you know, asking questions of the dead, whatever, and avot and you don't, you know, you nimar, ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm the Lord your God, don't do magic. So that's what the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim says, that's what they were, that's what the Isser is all about. But the ancient pagans performed many acts of sorcery. They wanted this to be read by each person, such that when you planted a fruit tree, you would get a rotten remains of that fruit, and the tree would grow quickly and produce fruit within a shorter time than usual. They wanted to get your trees to grow faster. They would do whatever magic, tenachashu, toko adam, all of that.
Isn't that just like composting or like fertilizing? Why is that magic?
Hold that,
like, that's exactly what we do. Is...
Thought. Oh, Liora, what are you going to say, Liora? Right, she knows that I'm going to quote that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Liora knows I'm going to say that. I hope Davida knew I was going to say that anyway. But yes, that's true. But we're going to talk about that. That's where we're going. Okay, so the Rambam says that they would do, and they would consider, and again, they maintained this was wondrous matter belonging to the realm of sorcery. That's the key why this is nichush, okay? That it was with magic. They do magic things to accelerate the bearing of fruit. Or explained and say the Torah keeps distant from all acts of sorcery. Therefore, the Torah forbids that all the fruit trees produce for 3 years from the time they're planting is forbidden, such that there's no need to accelerate their growth. Just don't do these things, because if you want to accelerate, you're going to do all this magic. That's a bad thing. Don't do it. So we're just not, don't even try. At the end of 3 years, most fruit trees in Eretz Yisrael produce fruit on their own, and they have no need for the sorcery. That's the Rambam's explanation for the 3 years. So don't try to accelerate the process for forbidden means, and don't think, well, if I do that, then I'll get to my Kodesh Yulim, I'll praise God with a good, nice fruit, crop of fruit a year earlier. That's a bad thing. Pushing it, you're going to end up going to be, you know, you'll end up looking at sorcery, you'll end up with Tamabaham, you'll end up with Seif Tuma. Orla and Netzaravai are less than patient. You can wait. Don't push it. Takes time, it's going to happen. So that brings up, you immediately know that's my favorite topic, because there are two ways to accelerate the growth of your crops. You can use magic, or you can do science. If I should do a capital S there, right? We're going to do science on this and get the crops faster, right? We're going to compost. We're going to add, you know, Monsanto fruit hormones.
Yeah.
And the problem is that when you use either of those, you try to do magic, you try to do science, you can't tell the difference. Right? Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Arthur Clarke's law. And I found a wonderful source, the Sefer Yisrael on the Gemara and the Mishnah Nida. That's the Yochanan Boaz commentary on the Mishnah, who makes the same point 100 years before Arthur C. Clarke. He's talking about the Lishkat HaParva. Ever hear the Lishkat HaParva?
What?
One of the chambers in the Lishkat HaParva, Chamber of Parva. Nothing to do with meat and milk. It was a chamber in the Beit HaMikdash that had a mikvah on its roof. And the Mishnah says, Lishkat HaParva al-gagah haya Beit HaTfila l'kohen gadol b'yom kippurim. So this chamber of Parva had a, on its roof there was a, there was a mikvah that the Kohen Gadol used on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara on Enuma says that why is it called Lishkat HaParva? The answer is Parva is Amgushi, which is always translated as the Persian word meaning a magus, the three magi from the Christmas story. A magus in Persian is
like a magician.
Was a nobleman. Yes, very good. Okay, it's the origin of the English word magician. Everyone translates that this Parva was named as a person who was a magician. Now it may have been just, he may have just been an important person. You know, the joke about the, they asked what the building's name after, they said it's a famous author. Oh, what do you write? A big check. So Parva may have been just a guy who wrote a big check, but no, everyone translates that. The Gemara says that he was a Mugushi, he was a magician. So what do you mean he's a magician? What's he doing in the basement? Dash. So this is the Tzvart Yisrael. On this mikvah goes on the roof. Talua mayim lahagag, and they would get the water onto the roof. Ayide silonot maase uman, with some kind of machinery, craftsmanship, and it's Wasserkunst in Belashen Ashkenaz. In Yiddish, it's literally waterworks, watercraft. They have some kind of pump. The open shaloh yushuvim in a way that it was not drawn water. That was halakhically acceptable for a mikvah. And anyone makes mikvahs has all sorts of, you know, how you do the plumbing to make that work. They had some kind of plumbing works then, which makes sense. Archimedes had invented the Archimedes screw 200 years before Herod. So the concept of indoor plumbing existed. And they called this chamber on the name after the person, the guy's name is Parva, Shibana'ah, who built it, but Amanut Nifla Gadola, with he was an amazing engineer. Lalot HaMayim Koch Ove Kizla, that the water would come up through in through the walls. He invented indoor plumbing. Adche Hayat Nirek Ilu Bana'a, until it appeared that he built it, that Allah HaMayim, the water went up to Kisha, so it was magic. Everyone that saw the water coming out, you know, they would turn on this little pipe over here and water would come out, and that was Kisha. That was magic. Talking to Ali, Persha Shas, that Pirva was an Amagushi, that he was a magician. Not that he was doing anything related to Kishuf magic, he was doing basically engineering. But he could do that. The Zerak Deshlo Tiksha Krusha Rabbeinu Tosfot Yom Tov, and this answers the question of the Tosfot Yom Tov on the Mishnah, the Ech Yikayim Beit HaMikdash Binyan She'asa B'Kishuf, that how could they have Kishuf, how did they use magic spells in the Beit HaMikdash? You're not allowed to do magic. This wasn't magic. This was sufficiently advanced technology. That's what they call Parva a magician, because he was a metaphoric magician with water engineering in whatever, 100 BCE. Nowadays, none of us would be impressed by indoor plumbing, but it was a big deal. So that's the nature of magic. And you can do one or the other there. And I would leave the example that I have a magic mirror that I wave my hands on, it tells me tomorrow's weather. And that's nichush, right? That's magic, and I should be stoned for using it. And the fact that there's a partly eaten apple in the back of my magic mirror here, does that change? Why am I allowed to use my iPad?
It's magic.
And from my point of view, again, I have no way of knowing whether this, you know, whether there's science in there or whether they're sacrificing goats at the full moon to make that work. They're trapped demons in there. I have no way of knowing that. And that the difference is, this is from the Drosha Haran, you bet, which I think is fascinating. You should definitely learn that it's a matter of attitude. What do I think is going on? Do I think of it as being part of the mechanics of how the world is created, or am I doing some kind of force, mystical force of the tomb that can control it? Since I have no way of knowing the answer, that if I think it's magic, then it's usher. If I don't think it's magic, then it's mother.
But that can't be the rule. That can't be the rule, that for someone it's usher and for someone it's mother. I'm saying that can't be the rule.
There's no other way to make the rule. How else can I use technology at all? In that I personally don't know what's going on inside of it.
That's if you sacrifice both the palm and the
And that's nature of the world. Ramban would truly say that. That's the Ramban would argue. The Orr's argument that nothing is teacher because that's the word. The Ramban would argue exactly that. That if it works, then teacher doesn't work. In other words, if it actually does work and affect the world, then that's now science.
He's sure not to go after what? Machshefot and what are they called? Yeah. In other words, so it's real. It's real. It's a real thing in the world.
So understand the Rambam is hard there. The Rambam would say that's all fake. Most other people would say, no, the Torah is assuming that there's some reality to it. But again, once I'm using it, I buy a bag of Monsanto fruit accelerator. In my mind, that's science. I think that's the physics of the world. But yet, I can't know that. That's what the Isra is. Because there's no other way to make it. I can't look at it and decide, did they chant spells over it somewhere? And somehow that works? I don't know. The issue is of using the magic, not in believing that it exists. By doing black magic, by looking to control demons to do your will, and Rambam would say, since it doesn't actually work, so the act of doing it and trying it is what the issue is. Oh. Most other people would say the act of doing that which is real would be the issue there. That's an important distinction, and we can talk, and like I said, I encourage you to go ahead and read the Joshua Hara, which talks as the example of that of being magnetism. And I use magnets if I'm the Ron living in, whatever, 1200 Spain, and I've nothing. There is no science whatsoever that can handle magnetism. Aristotle has no idea what to do with it. But it's observation. Clearly this works in a very consistent way, and I can figure it out, so it's not Keisha. It's not a simple question. If I can't do magic, then what do I do with Arthur Clarke Law?
Were you saying that it's subjective? That if I don't know, if I believe radio is magic, I can't use it? But you could use it?
I don't see any other way of understanding it. that there's a mismatch to distinguish between magic and science, and we can do science, not magic. We can use technology. No one's saying you can't use technology. It's saying what the kochot ha'tumah are.
It just doesn't make sense to me that your personal belief affects what you could do, and his personal belief affects what he could do. There's got to be a thing. Yeah. But here in the fruit,
it's whether I can use magic.
No, it doesn't.
What is magic depends on what I think is going on.
Because the rule of Arla, it's not what you think. 3 years, you cannot use the fruit, period.
Good.
Whatever you think.
Right. So that's what I'm saying here. So. Pake, I like that word. Right. So despite Rabbi, this thing doesn't apply here.
I can't use
either. That's my point here. This is a distinction. Okay, that's exactly right. But for Orla, I can't use the science either. Even though Rambam says this is to keep me from using magic, the halakha is I can't use science either to accelerate it. So Rambam says the reason for the Orla is because I'm afraid I can use magic, But we're saying that the issur itself is it, don't use science either to accelerate it, because it's not going to happen. This is the way Rabbi Rimon puts it. Yeah. Yeah, she is a hatana. She's not, you know, she is a Rebbetzin, okay? But she writes for the hatanach.com. She writes for the, yeah, this essay is in the book from the Gershom Yeshiva Haratzia. Perhaps the very attempt on man's part to accelerate the production of fruit is a negative phenomenon. While God has given man the right to improve the world through technological advances, there are still areas the Torah limits and forbids certain actions, even though it may appear to us to further the aim of perfecting the world. One example is the prohibition of kilayim, I can't crossbreed. I might improve livestock or agricultural products. God tells us procedures are improper. There are limits on what we can do. Again, that's straight science. The same would appear to Arla. Let's go naturally, a tree does not generally produce plentiful, high-quality fruit during its first 3 years. Perhaps man may become capable of performing some sort of procedure that would cause the fruit to appear earlier. Perhaps this would appear to him as a proven enhancement. Torah tells us it would not be proper. Therefore, the fruit of the first 3 years should not be consumed. Oral is again a lesson in weight. In Sovonu, have faith in Hashem. You don't use science or magic. Don't accelerate it. Like, there's value in the waiting.
I feel like a source of people who want to not eat or support GMOs. Like,
yeah.
Like a little bit, you know, like if you wanted to read into it, so question, you could say this is not so this is not the way that the, you know, God intended the world.
The question,
Danny,
I think
your basic premise here is something off, in that you're taking a principle like Rabbanit Rimon. There are certain areas we cannot do it, period. But to take it beyond and make an analogy to other science, technology, magic, that's not what this is about.
Okay. I'm not saying it right. I don't think it's about telling us, in this case of Arla, you cannot use science to make it grow faster.
There were certain
cases. I'm not saying that at all.
Right, but you can't apply that general principle that if you think it's magic, you can't do it. The Torah is telling
us. That's a separate issue of magic. No. That's a separate issue of kishuv. Yeah, that's a whole shiur to itself about magic and what counts as nichush.
Okay.
We can talk about that for hours. I would love to talk about that for hours. I find it fascinating.
You know, the Torah is telling us there are two areas where you cannot do it. That's all. You can't.
Right.
Nothing
right.
to do
I
with agree. What
this you
think.
Not...
And...
Right.
No, okay. I'll wait for the Kishuv. I'm
disagreeing with the Rambam. The Rambam says it's about Kishuv, and clearly it is not just Kishuv, because you can do science is also forbidden. But it's not Kishuv. The issue of Orla is not one of magic. That this is an area where I cannot use science to get it to go faster.
Okay, right.
Okay, right. That's my argument. And yes, yeah. The argument against GMOs, I don't apply because this is not generalizable. We're going to treat that as a chok.
Good.
But in the case of fruit trees, you need to wait.
Right.
There's value in waiting. The nice lesson that's important, the white trees. So we're going to kind of move here in the next 10 minutes to Chasemes. I'm going to turn to Chasidic. We always have to do that because I have a Gera at heart. What?
The
Gera Chasidic. Gera Chasidic or real Chasidic. Okay. So the Sash Emes tries to say, okay, so why make this point about waiting with a tree? And there's a medrash that connects two kinds of trees. There's Vayikaraba. Kitavola aretz v'natatem kol etz machal. Pasuk says, when you come to land and you will plant any kind of fruit tree. V'hadukhtiv, and we have a pasuk that says, etz chayim hi l'machazikim ba, is a tree of life to those who hold fast to it. Talking about the Torah. Avuna b'shem Rabbi Binyamin ben Levi Amar Yehuda Huna ben the name of Rabbi Binyamin Levi, that Mashal HaMelech, I'll give you a parallel. We have a king. Well, Mashal has to start with a king. So Amar Libinah told his son, say the Frakmatia, kid, you need to get a job. And we all say to our children, whether we're kings or not. Amarlosis. The kid says back to his father, Abba, I'm afraid to go out. I'm going to go start selling things. I'm afraid of robbers along the way. Ubayam ipnei apiratin. And I'm afraid of pirates. It's a nice Greek word. On the seas. Can't go. I'm not going to start because selling things because I'm afraid of the robbers and the pirates. Masa aviv. What did his father do? Natal makel. Took a stick. V'chakako. And carved it, Natan Lobokamiya, and put an amulet on it, Natal Vinel, and gave a stick with an amulet to his son. Amalan told him, Yihia Makela Zebiyadcha, just hold this stick in your hand, to Iyata Mitra Mishum Bria, and you'll never need to be afraid of anyone. Just hold the stick with the amulet. Sounds like the 51st dragon. Everyone knows the story of the 51st dragon? You never heard, we had this in school. It's one of these essays, old, it's like a 100-year-old story here about the student in night school is afraid of slaying dragons. So you got a magic word. The handmaster told you, if you have the magic word, say the magic word, and you don't have to be afraid, you'll be able to slay all the dragons. And then in the end, he finds out that it wasn't a magic word after all. Of course not. You're too old for such foolishness. There's no magic word. It was more wonderful than that. The word gave you confidence, took away your fears, and I told you that in the children's very first day. So he's got this stick with an amulet, this kid in the metaphor, in the mashal, to keep him brave. Afkana markash broku Moshe and Mor Yisrael. So the same to Hashem tells Moshe to Ben Yisrael, Bini asku b'Torah, this stick with the amulet is keeps the Torah, you advise yourself with Torah, v'ein atem mityarim mishum umah, and you won't be afraid of any other nation.
But the Torah itself, though, is not like a magic stick. It's not like, oh, it just really, like, you know, tricks you into thinking. Like the Torah itself.
But even though this story sounds like a signature dragon, the Sfat Emet says that can't be what the Mashal means. It isn't like, well, I just hold my chumash in my hand. I have a kamiya, an amulet, and now I'm safe. We don't hold by kamiya. That's the Sfas Emet. It says, no, it goes back to the first line, that what's protecting us is a combination of the two trees. We have the netetem kol etz machal, the practical one, if you will go out and plant trees, and the spiritual etz chayim hi of the Torah. So this is the way the Sfas Emet says it. The Medrash. That ki davo, netetem v'chule, when you come to land, you'll plant trees, and etz chayim hi. Those two things go together. Olam Nata, because God planted the eternal life with us, who Torah Shel Peh. It's the Torah Shel Peh Hamashechet Koach HaTorah Maaseh that pulls the wisdom of Torah into action, that we actually do something with the Torah. And what do we do with it? That's Ketuv, and he quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Yafet Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz, that you need to learn along with having a job. Because the work, stress, right? The yigia, the weariness of the two of them together, trying to earn a living, planting trees, and learning Torah, you won't have time to do sin. Sin will be forgotten.
How did you translate yigia?
Weariness, effort. What do you want to translate that?
It's not hard work. Oh, that's what yigia is? It's not like aim, like the goal, the what you get to?
No, that's the higia with a head.
Oh.
Yigia, literally.
Like yigia kapecha.
Oh.
Yagata matata. Like, hard work.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Yigia. I don't know that word.
Yigia translated as arrive. No,
effort.
Yeah, but
this is the.
This is definitely the effort.
Oh, yigia with a hay at the end.
Oh, that's just do that. Yigia effort. There we go. Thank you. Strange.
Yeah.
Oh, exertion. That's a good word. I like that.
Yeah, oh, that's exertion. A good. Yeah.
Translate mamats. Okay, we translate agat yigi.
Mamats is like effort, like mamats shitufit, or like a joint effort, like yigi is more like a hard thing.
Yeah,
exertion.
Mamats has a very positive feel to it. Mamats.
Yeah, yigi is generally negative, but here it's the exertion of doing both those things that keeps you from sinning. Okay, if you have nothing, you know, the devil finds work for idle hands. Okay, Mitzvah says you got to do both. Talmud im derech eretz. And he says that's what it is. Talmud is the Eitz Chaim, derech eretz is the Hatem Kol Eitz Machal. Zeh yoker yigia mitorah, because this is more exertion than just sitting and learning itself. We yigia l'chaber, the effort l'chaber shnehem, and actually not just doing both, but actually to put them both together, to have to be a whole person with both of those sides of it. Shneim maaseh gashmi, the practical work, im kedusha, with the holiness, shehi chiyot topet penimiyot, with your spiritual life as well. B'chol davar yesh chayut min haTorah. This life comes from Torah, k'mo shekatu, baraita bara kadosh baruch hu alma, that God created the world with true Torah. So we need the Torah side as well, but we need the practical, the maaseh gashmi. Ed tach shemati me adonia v'zikeni, Moreno Rabbeinu Zal, that this Tzvas Emes was the second Ger Rebbe, his grandfather was the first Ger Rebbe. And so I heard from my grandfather, the first Ger Rebbe, Al Shaya Kasha Yisrael, the Knot Eretz Yisrael. That's why B'nai Yisrael didn't want to go into Israel. That's why the Meraglim didn't want to enter Eretz Yisrael. Shahaya Avoda Rabbak, it was too much work in Israel, Eli and Shah, right? Over there by the Meraglim, because they didn't want to do the physical side of it. So Midbar Hayarak Torah. In the wilderness, they got man, they didn't have to work, they could just sit and be holy people learning Torah. Eretz Yisrael Hayyash Neham, and Eretz Yisrael, they had the effort of both. They had to go Tavo Eretz with the attempt called Eitz Machal. They had to plant the trees. And that's what the message of the Orla is that you need these two trees together, and that's what protects you. And then both spiritual and material matters, it's the effort, the exertion that's valuable, and taking shortcuts. Avoid the yigia. I don't mind you using technology to make life easier, but you should be doing something else with your time. If you're just doing it to avoid the work, that's what leads to avod, and that's what's the yigia shnehem mishkachat avod. You'll forget about sinning at all. That's less important. Work for 3 years, express to appreciation of Kosh Baruch in the fourth, and the fifth, you'll have the lochifachem tzvotel. You'll have that increase of and your produce, both physically and spiritually, that you can't avoid the hard work. It's important, and it's important to do the work as well. And we should all enjoy our Orla.
The eighth Sfat Emet connects this idea of the Eitz Chaim to Orla. Yes? Right, or you're doing that.
Right. No,
he does.
Yeah, got it. As I said, it's heat. That the two trees together, that is your magic amulet that you're holding in your hand that's to protect you.
Right.
It's not just a magic amulet, you actually have to do the work. And the doing the work is what protects you.
Mm-hmm.
Doing those two things together.
Right. A combination.
You need both trees.
Very nice.
You need both trees. Okay? So work hard, learn hard. Or the fruits of your labor.
And wait 3 years. Just sit around and wait. I like that one.
No, you're not supposed to be sitting around. You got to be working those 3 years, right? You don't just plant, ignore it. You got to work, and you got to be putting your compost in there and pruning it. It doesn't happen by magic.
He's not saying you can't compost. He's just saying you still can't eat those fruits.
Right.
Right. So right. The lesson is that you're going to be waiting for that time that accelerating doesn't.
It doesn't work all that way. Yeah. Because he's talking about effort, and yet the idea is wait 3 years. And he's what's the effort for the tree? Learn Torah? I mean, I don't know how this works.
I'm saying is that it takes 3 years of working with the tree before it's getting big fruit. You don't just plant it and then walk away. It is going to take time. You're going to have to do something to get that tree to grow. Right. You're pruning it. You're fertilizing it. You're watering it.
It's almost the opposite of the other. This thing, you know, because the other one was don't do anything unnatural or something to help it grow better. Don't do that. And now this medrash is saying work the land, get the tree to grow better. I don't know. This is something. I don't know. All right, I'll read it over.
Okay. Well, remember, this was last week, so you don't have a chance, right? You got a whole year before it comes back again.
Oh.
Right? So start working on this again. Patience. You can't make Kedoshim come faster. You got a whole year here to kind of let it percolate, develop in here. But you can't ignore it, right? You got to do the effort to make it happen. Okay. I'm going to say good night to everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very good. By this.